December 12th brings one of my favorite feasts as a native Texan, and that is the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. In order to celebrate the feast, I wanted to share with you an online course that I recorded at the New St. Thomas Institute. It's the history of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and it doesn't just begin with Juan Diego and the Aztec people. It begins with the time of the apostles. It begins with St. Luke, with a legend that he carved a statue, and how that statue came to Italy with Gregory the Great and eventually went to Spain, where it was lost during the Mohammedan invasion, recovered, and so on and so forth. I won't ruin the whole story for you, but it's a rich, rich tradition and history, and it's really the foundation and the bedrock of the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So I'll let you watch it. This is from the New St. Thomas Institute. I did a year-long course for student members of the New St. Thomas Institute. It begins with the summary of the Old Testament, studies the 12 apostles, the earliest church fathers, and goes century by century studying the history of the Catholic Church and the theology of the Catholic Church through history. If you'd like to take that course, you can do it at newstthomas.com, newstthomas.com. And here is that one course on Our Lady of Guadalupe. It's from a few several years ago, so you'll see that I've aged a little bit, grayed a little bit, but I hope you enjoy it. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Our Lady of Guadalupe is the patroness of the New St. Thomas Institute because she is the star of the new evangelization. She signifies for us the extension of Christ's kingdom, not just in Europe, but throughout the whole world. And today we're going to look at the history of Our Lady of Guadalupe in two phases. The first phase is the tradition of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Spain, the old Our Lady of Guadalupe. And then we'll look at her new apparition in the New World in Mexico City, with the new Our Lady of Guadalupe image, the miraculous Tilma. So let's get started. All right, beginning with phase one, we look at Our Lady of Guadalupe in the Old World, in Spain. This tradition begins with Gregory the Great. We had an NSTI video on Gregory the Great. He was Pope from 590 to 604, and he received a statue of the Blessed Mother from the city of Constantinople. Now, this statue was found in the coffin of St. Luke, and was allegedly created or carved by St. Luke. It was given as a gift to the city of Rome. Gregory the Great brought it to Rome, and then he himself gave it as a gift to St. Leander, the Bishop of Seville in Spain, because St. Leander had converted the Visigothic kings there in Spain. So the statue begins with St. Luke in the Holy Land, makes its way to Constantinople, makes its way to Rome with Gregory the Great, and then to Spain with St. Leander. Now, when the Muslims took over Spain in the 700s, the Catholic priest who had this famous statue of Our Lady fled north, and they buried the statue near the Guadalupe River to prevent the Muslims from destroying it. And the statue was so well hidden that the Muslims never did find it, but then again, never did the Christians either. And in the 1300s, a shepherd, Christian, a Catholic named Gil Cordero, began to report apparitions of Our Lady in a field near the River of Guadalupe in Spain. And Our Lady appeared to Gil Cordero and said this to him, quote, "Do not be afraid. I am the Mother of God, Savior of the human lineage. Take your cow and bring it to the rest of your herd. Then go home and tell the clerics what you saw and that I sent you. They are to come to this place where you now are and to dig where your dead cow was. Under those rocks, they will find an image of me. And when they take it out, tell them not to move it from the place where it is now, but to build a large house right here and to put my image in it." End quote. So the priest came to that spot. They unearthed this miraculous forgotten statue of St. Luke and built a shrine there, built a church. The King of Castile and Leon, Alfonso XI, became a regular pilgrim, and the monarchs began to expand the chapel there along the Guadalupe River, and this famous image of Our Lady came known as Our Lady of Guadalupe. In fact, Christopher Columbus made a pilgrimage to this site before going to the New World, and when he returned from the New World in 1492, he fulfilled a vow and went to the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe to give thanks to God through the intercession of the Virgin of Guadalupe. So that's phase one. This gives the Spanish people and Christopher Columbus the discovery of the New World. It gives us a theological backdrop with Our Lady of Guadalupe. Now, fast forward just a few decades to 1531. Here we have a convert to Catholicism, a native, an Aztec, a Native American named Juan Diego. On December 9th, 1531, Juan Diego is walking near the hill of Tepeyac outside modern day, what we know as Mexico City. And in his native language, a beautiful woman appears to him and identifies herself as the mother of the very true deity and asks for a temple, a shrine to be built in her honor on that spot. So Juan Diego goes into Mexico City and meets with the bishop-elect, Juan de Zumarraga, and tells him what happens, and of course the bishop does not believe this native convert. So a second apparition, later that same day, Juan Diego sees the Virgin for the second time and tells him that the bishop rejected the request. She, however, encourages him on his mission. On Sunday, December 10th, Juan Diego talked to the archbishop a second time, but bishop-elect Zumarraga told Juan Diego to ask this supposed lady for a miraculous sign to prove her identity. So Juan Diego walked back to Tepeyac and told the Virgin Mary that the bishop requested a sign. She promised a miracle the very next morning and told him to come back. However, that next morning, Juan Diego's uncle, Juan Bernardino, fell sick, and Juan Diego was obliged to take care of him and to find a priest for him. And so he skipped out on his meeting with the Blessed Mother. In the very early hours of Tuesday, this is December 12th, Juan Bernardino's condition deteriorates. And so Juan Diego heads out to find a priest to hear his uncle's confession. He goes a different route around the hill of Tepeyac so as to avoid the lady because he's embarrassed. And while he's going around the other side of the hill, the Virgin intercepts him and says, "Where are you going?" And Juan Diego explains what had happened to his uncle, and the Virgin responds with these famous and beautiful words, "No estoy yo aquí que soy tu madre. Am I not here, I who am your mother?" So she assures him that Juan Bernardino, his uncle, will recover, will be healed. And then she says, "Go up on the hill and gather the flowers on top. This is going to be the miracle for the bishop." So he goes up on Tepeyac Hill. It's December, December 12th, and he finds Castilian roses, not native to Mexico, blooming in the winter. And so he picks these roses and puts them in his tilma, his cloak, and goes back to the foot of the hill where the Virgin is waiting. And she, this is a very important detail, she rearranges the flowers in his cloak, creates this bouquet, and tells him to go to the Archbishop-elect Zumarraga, and he does. He waits, he meets with the Bishop-elect, and then he opens his cloak to allow the roses to fall onto the floor, thinking that that's the miracle. And when he does so, the Bishop and those with him fall to their knees because they see this miraculous image of Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin, on the cloak, imprinted miraculously on the cloak of little Juan Diego. Now, on the next day, Wednesday, December 13th, Juan Diego goes to his uncle and finds he's been fully healed, just as the Virgin had told him. And his uncle, Juan Bernardino, says that he saw the Virgin at his bedside. And his uncle says, "And the Virgin wants to be known as Our Lady of Guadalupe." So this is tying the ancient tradition of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Spain that goes back to St. Luke and St. Gregory the Great and Christopher Columbus with this new moment of evangelization here outside of Mexico City. And so the bishop places this miraculous image in his personal chapel, And then they build a makeshift shrine at Tepeyac Hill, and they have a procession carrying the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe to the new chapel. And during this time, there's a great commotion, and the Aztecs, the natives, are shooting arrows into the sky and yelling and celebrating and singing. And an arrow comes down and hits one of the natives in the neck, fatally wounding him. And so the people panic, and they take this Native American with the arrow in his neck and bring him and touch him to the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe and pull the arrow out, and he's immediately healed. And this is a sign of God's confirmation that the Virgin's image should be here at Tepeyac Hill in this new shrine. And over the years, 10 million natives, it's estimated, were converted and received baptism. It was the new evangelization of the new world. Finally, the Native Americans saw Christ and Our Lady not as foreign invaders, not as conquerors, but as one of their own, one that cared for them, one who appeared as them. And so the complex there at Tepeyac Hill began to grow with a basilica, and now even a greater basilica, larger basilica. To this day, we've taken New St. Thomas Institute pilgrimage with our students to Our Lady of Guadalupe to pray there. It's a beautiful place there on Tepeyac Hill and at the foot with all the shrines there. And of course, seeing the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe is one of the most emotional and spiritual experiences of my entire life. I've been to Rome, I've been to all over the world. I've seen even the Shroud of Turin, and seeing Our Lady of Guadalupe in person brought a wave of filial devotion and love through my body and an eyes full of tears as I saw this miraculous image of Our Lady's proximity to us. In 1999, Pope John Paul II named Our Lady Guadalupe Empress of Latin America and protectress of all unborn children. In 2002, he canonized St. Juan Diego. I think it's important for us to realize that this tradition of Our Lady of Guadalupe is not something that's just in the 1500s or that it's something that's just Mexican. Rather, the tradition of Our Lady of Guadalupe goes back to St. Luke. It goes back to the gospel. It's a reminder that Our Lady is present in the pages of the New Testament, and she testifies to Jesus Christ. That's why she is the star of the new evangelization. That's why she's the empress of all the Americas and the patron of the New St. Thomas Institute. We desire to extend the love of Jesus Christ in a miraculous way. And the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe is the only apparition that perseveres. All the other apparitions, Our Lady comes and she disappears. In Our Lady of Guadalupe, that miraculous apparition of Our Lady perseveres. It's still there. You can go see it. You can get on the escalators that go back and forth and be within feet of it and look at Our Lady Guadalupe, the beautiful colors, almost the way the light dances and changes upon that image, and know that God intervened in the 1500s, a time of reformation, time of heresy, a time of schism, and planted something new in the world, a sign of hope and a sign of love. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Well, there she is, Our Lady of Guadalupe, a wonderful tradition, a wonderful apparition. It is the apparition that remains with us. Here we are 500 years later. If you'd like to take this course and all the courses and all this curricula and certificate that we offer at New St. Thomas, check it out at newstthomas.com. Thanks so much. Ave Maria and Happy Advent. Has anyone ever asked you to explain a Catholic topic and stumped you? St. Peter, our first pope, once wrote this: always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. The problem is it takes years and even decades to study sacred scripture, the church fathers, magisterial documents, and councils. Most of us don't have that much time, even if we wanted to. So what if there were a way to have all of these answers prepared for us literally at our fingertips? My name is Dr. Taylor Marshall. I'm the founder of the New St. Thomas Institute, and we have created an online library of video and audio resources answering the most common objections against our Catholic faith. As a student member of the New St. Thomas Institute, you'll have access to our short and informative lessons by searching for the topics that interest you. For example, how to explain the Crusades, how to answer the top 10 atheist objections, how to answer Mormons when they come to your front door, and how to easily and quickly explain the Eucharist, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the papacy, the sacraments, and much more. You could easily spend thousands of dollars taking classes at universities or seminaries, but our tuition is the most affordable on earth. Plus, you'll have free access to our popular certificates in Catholic philosophy, Catholic theology, Catholic apologetics, church history, and New Testament studies. So if you're struggling with a topic and you need help, we have resources and answers waiting for you. Take your faith to the next level, become confident in your Catholic faith, join the new St. Thomas Institute today.